This is the Verstandig Media's Ask the Expert podcast.
Joining us today, we have Melissa Clausen. She is the owner and therapist at Breakthrough Counseling Services online, breakthroughcounselingmd.com. Melissa, this is not your first time here, but how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much.
It hasn't been that long, but we've got some big news to cover, and we'll save that for the end. But one of the main reasons that we had you come back in today is because we're in a time of year where and this is not, I don't think, news to anyone, but we never really dive into it, where people can become depressed this time of year. You have the weather's changed. You have we're out of daylight saving time. We're now in standard time, so it's getting darker earlier. But then you also have the holidays. So can you take us through what we can expect telltale signs, what people typically go through this time of year when it comes to depression and those disorders?
Yeah. A lot of things we see right now is depression and anxiety. You know, with the upcoming holidays, they come on us so quickly. You know, Thanksgiving's around the corner. And, you know, it's just the hustle and bustle of getting everything prepared. The kids are out of school, so you have the extra stress inside the home. The financial burden, inflation, with inflation prices right now, with buying groceries,
yeah.
People are really stressed out in regards to, are they going to have enough money to do the same traditions that they did before in previous years? And then the biggest one, like you said, the winter season's coming. We stay indoors more. Not a lot of outside time, sunlight, and so on and so forth. The stress level of just getting everything prepared for our families and making sure everything is the same could be overwhelming for some people.
Yeah. And you brought up about finances, and that is one of the biggest causes of divorce, but the financial stress itself is big all around in life. And you said about obviously inflation, but just in general with finances around this time of year, when it comes to, I would assume parents are especially affected. Is that true?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yes. Parents. And you know, not only the parents, but the caregivers, the ones that, again, are making the traditions the same for the family each year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay. What I really encourage everybody to do is it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
It's okay to do a different tradition this year. Mm-hmm. Don't stress yourself out so thin. It's only at the holidays.
Right.
And a lot of people want to make it the same way, but we just don't live in that world anymore. And it's okay to say, hey, let's do a potluck.
Yeah.
Or let's go out to eat and everybody pitch in. Or everybody bring a dish. Or how about everybody choose a name? And we don't buy for everybody this year, but we maybe buy for just one person and make it funny. You know, it is okay to say no.
And we hear this, but it's, apparently people have a difficult time putting it into practice, is that the best thing about the holidays is being together, being with your family, regardless of what is on the table or not on the table, or what is or is not under the tree. The importance rests in the people around you, because come next year, if any one of those people is missing, that's going to be the glaring problem, for lack of a better way of saying it, for the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And you quickly realize that is what it is all about when you have and everyone has someone that they've lost there's a void that's left that I cooked dinner every single year. No, I made sure I got them a gift every year. That stuff is not what matters. It's just the memories that you have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we tend to forget. We get caught up, like you said, and you hit it the nail on the head. And I didn't even realize that the traditions, these long, because look, I have them too. There's long seated things that we have deep down that we've got to do this. We've got to be pumpkin pie on the table. I don't care if pumpkins are $1,000 a pound. There's going to be a pumpkin pie on the table. And we only use brand name Cool Whip and, you know, all these different things. And that really, I would imagine that does affect a lot of people.
Yeah. And you also just mentioned, you know, when you lose a loved one, the holidays bring about a significant struggle with grief. Mm-hmm. So there's the memories there. There's, you know, just missing that person around the table, whatever their role was within the tradition.
Sure.
Right. So if they were the jokester at the table, or if they were the the cooker or the cleaner or the whatever.
Or the person who always complained about something. You know, and you do, you miss that. Amazingly, you miss that.
The difficult one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I think that grief is one of the most significant things that we see also coming in the door. And I would encourage people to, you know, to reach out during this time, even if it's for 1 or 2 months, reach out and just cry with somebody, laugh with somebody, talk to somebody about what you're missing about that person. I think right. It's important to celebrate their life, talk about their life, explain who they were, and just reminisce sometimes during this season.
Those good, just talk about those good times, those great memories, and all part of the healing process, like you said. What do you find in your experience? By the way, we're talking with Melissa Clausen. She's owner and therapist at Breakthrough Counseling Services, online breakthroughcounselingmd.com. What do you find people have come back to you who've dealt with what we've just been talking about in some fashion? Have they said that's helped them to get through, to cope with any type of change? Now, we came out of COVID, obviously, and now, thankfully, we're getting back together. But the COVID years, so to speak, they were... When it came to saving money and not getting together, you had it, right? I mean, as far as any of it goes, really, you just weren't around people to buy for them. It's like, oh, well, it's COVID. It became an excuse. But now that we're back at it, what are people saying to you is, this was my turning point. This is where I finally realized what was happening.
I would say, you know, as far as it just depends on which topic, right? Like if you are kind of the caretaker, the glue that holds the family together, being able to send something out to the family and saying, hey, we're going to do it differently this year. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to be the leader and change.
Right.
Right. And recognizing that, like, really the person that it affects the most is the person that's doing the tradition. Mm-hmm. Or that the person that's, you know, thinks they have to do it all.
Right.
And so, you know, I see a lot of the times when you say no or make that change or say, hey, can somebody else have it at their house this year? Or I'll do Thanksgiving, you do Christmas. You know, pretty much like no one's affected. Everybody still has a good time. The only person that's affected is the person that's saying no because there's that sense of guilt. Mm-hmm. And so I always say to my caregivers, if you feel guilty, then you know you're creating a change because that's a good thing and a positive thing in your life. Right.
I think what we might want to do, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think this would be important, is the people who go to someone else's home for Christmas or Thanksgiving, if you notice a change, perhaps it's be supportive, offer assistance, say, you know, maybe... Because sometimes people don't hide things as well as they think that they do. And some people wear their emotions on their sleeve, but they think that they are, you know, very good at hiding them. And in fact, they're not. Perhaps you could say, you could take that initiative. What if we did something different? You don't just say you don't want to say, well, mom, why don't we do something different? Because you're stressed and, you know, you haven't been paid for 2 weeks or whatever the case may be. But just take that initiative and say, can we do this? Wouldn't it be a great new tradition, mom? If, you know, now that we're all older, we know how to cook. We married someone who knows how to cook. Why don't we bring something? And just to take some of that stress off, I think that would be really good for people to do.
Yeah. Just something as small as let's not set the table. Mm-hmm. Can we do it a buffet and we'll go get and have paper plates?
Yeah.
Something as small as that mm-hmm. can create just a huge weight off of somebody's
right.
shoulders, right? Just to be able to come in and, sometimes with caretakers, they can come off a little controlling. So sure. you have to come in and just say, hey, this is what we're going to do this year. Mm-hmm. Or we all decided this
right.
is what we want to do this year. Mm-hmm. And when
I was going to say, how do you, as the person who you said is responsible for the traditions, the caretaker is the title that you've given, and I love that. Is it just boiled down to them being willing to step out of that comfort zone and say, not... Is it okay if we do this? But if we're going to do it here, then X, Y, and Z needs to happen.
Yes.
So that's what it all boils down to. It's just having that courage.
The courage to say it yes to the person. Because again, the caretaker has their role in life is to please others, right? Mm-hmm. So their role in life, whoever that glue is that holds that family together, it's usually a grandparent, you know, or usually that has had the tradition there, you know, for the last 40 years or you know, or a parent. It comes down to being able to look at them and say, you know, the whole family talked and this is the way we want to do it this year. And sometimes, again, just doing it for that caretaker and not asking them is the biggest thing. Because once you ask them, then they have the level of guilt where they have to say, no, it's okay.
Right.
I'll do it. And so, or
they get that very defensive. What are you talking about? Everything is fine. You know, I mean, think about what you would do. Anyone listening to this, think about how you, maybe you are that person that Melissa's talking about. What would you do? How would you respond if someone said this to you or asked you versus telling you? There's a massive difference. And if they give you that option, if they just say, hey, I'd like to do this. We're gonna do this. Well, oh, okay. Then it just becomes, and you know what? You can maybe say, well, I don't know. You can play that card if you want to. But in reality, you can breathe a sigh of relief, a little bit of one. Mm-hmm. And once that starts, then the next year, because ultimately too, we talked about this a little bit earlier, is, and let's just use moms as the example, right? But sadly, if life goes the way that it's supposed to and designed to, mom is going to leave this earth before the kids. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you want, as a parent, to establish the new regime, so to speak? The new way of doing it. Mm-hmm. I would think so. Now, I am a parent. My daughter's only 3 years old, so I, you know, she's just not even anywhere near this stage yet. But don't you think that that's something that, as a parent, you would think, oh, you know what, we should want to do that. Let's get the kids with their traditions. We certainly would be part of them, but help them as best we can.
Yeah. And the other thing you were asking in the beginning about is that what works for some people that, you know, kind of struggle with the grief over the holidays is I really encourage don't do the same traditions.
Okay.
If this is the first year that you've lost somebody, and you know, that you're struggling with, gosh, I have to have it together for everybody else. And especially if it's, you know, if you lost your spouse and you want to make things the same for the kids, one of the best things that you can do is if you are the person that has it at your house, go out and have, you know, go out to Italian or go to Mexican or go bowling with the family and then come home and play games.
Okay.
Do something outside of the tradition that you normally did. And that really helps people step out of kind of their grief, mm-hmm. and not, I don't want to say not remember that person, but not have the same memories of missing that person sitting next to you or missing that person cutting the turkey or missing that person, you know, being Santa Claus and, you know, going around, or Mrs. Santa Claus and going around and giving everybody their gifts. Do it different. Okay. It's okay. It is a season.
I wanted to ask you this, to step in, because I believe what you're saying now, and I understand, and I just want to make sure we get clarity on this, because this can, because it struck me when you said it, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just, for the sake of conversation, I am sure that there's someone or many people listening to this who may balk at that notion to not do the tradition. Example, I was trying to think, well, what can I say? What analogy can we give? What example can we give? Let's just say that Christmas Eve, you open a few gifts, and then Dad always loved when you would go out and sing Christmas carols or look at Christmas lights. That's a better one. Dad always loved to load up the car and go look at Christmas lights. Are you suggesting to not do that?
Yeah. You mean if Dad was the one that passed in the family?
Correct. So Dad loved this, that this was the one thing, not that everybody else didn't love it, don't get me wrong, but that, you know, he loved doing this. And so you're saying that it can help with the grief to discontinue?
To not do it on that same time.
Okay.
So do it another day.
Uh-huh.
Get together where you're celebrating him.
Maybe the week before, between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah. Or maybe, hey, we're going to go celebrate Dad tonight.
Okay.
But in order to start new traditions for your family, mm-hmm. is that not suffer that pain, that loss, which, again, grief can be all kinds of things. It could be anger. It could be, you know, it could be just nothing but tears. It could be depression. It could be, I think the biggest thing is that for the day of is to start a new tradition. So you can look back and say, our new tradition started when Dad died.
Okay. And is there something therapeutic though? And I'm asking the therapist, obviously, just so you know, we're talking with Melissa Clausen, owner and therapist at Breakthrough Counseling Services. Is there anything therapeutic to continuing them? Or is it just you think best action is discontinue, or there's some people who they can do that and they kind of have to feel their own. I know grief can be different for everyone. There are a lot of similarities, but is it unique to the person or the family, or is it something where you say, you know what, it's pretty hard and fast that doing this helps to expedite the grief process?
It's unique to the person.
Okay.
Unique to the person for sure. Gotcha. You know, there, and again, depending on the traditions, there's so many traditions
sure.
within one day.
And there can be such right? little things like nuanced traditions. Like when I was growing up, my dad could not stand the idea of opening anything before Christmas morning. Could just completely was against it, railed against it. And we broke him down to the point where it was open one gift Christmas Eve. And then it got to the point where, you know, people started having to travel. So we got him to now all the gifts on Christmas Eve. So that's again, a tradition for me is dad comes over on Christmas Eve to open gifts. And I think that to your point, and maybe this is just easy because it is my situation, is when the day comes, something happens to my father, I will have no problem stopping that tradition because that was unique to him. Mm-hmm. It was just him. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's easy to stop, and I won't have to. Now, obviously, I still remember. Do you think, Melissa, that people, because I sometimes feel this, do you think that people think if they stop that it can be viewed as forgetting? I don't want to forget. If we stop doing that, and I think sometimes what you may have a situation of as well is dad or mom has passed away. There's a tradition specific to either one of them or both. And you might wind up with the kids almost unintentionally guilting the remaining parent mm-hmm. into continuing because, well, that's what dad would have wanted, or that's what mom would have wanted. I think what you're saying is now it's about what I want / more, even moreover, what I need to get through.
Yeah.
And I think that we as the support system around these folks who are suffering, I think that we owe it to them to let the focus be on the person who is suffering the most grief. What do they need? What tools do they need? How can we help? And it may not be pushing. See, because I think that it all comes from a good place that mom would want this to continue. She might say she doesn't, but she wants it. So I think that we kind of have to take a step back out of our own way and listen is what you're ultimately saying.
Yes. Yeah. And you were mentioning about people are going to feel guilty and think that they have forgotten that person. I get that question a lot. Like if I felt guilty last week, because I was laughing, I found myself laughing. Or let's say for the holidays that you do have a good time with your family and you have just lost a loved one a month ago. And all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, having a good time or smile. They'll say, like, I felt guilty, like, mm-hmm. because I should be in tears, or I should be, you know, I should not even be able to communicate, or I should be laying in the bed and just mourning. It's not a measure as to how much you love that person.
Right.
Right? It's just a measure of how you are able to get through the day. We're still left on this earth.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to get yourself to a place where, again, there is no guilt in laughter. And there is no guilt in having a day where you don't want to talk to anybody or where you're angry at somebody. And so when you say about, you know, just disconnecting, one of the things that I tell the person that is grieving the most is be the leader in telling people what you want, because people don't know what to ask.
Right.
Grief, there are thousands of books out there. There's thousands of research. And the reason there is because there's no right answer.
Yeah.
Your grief is your grief. Mm-hmm. Some people have to clear their house out of the person's belongings the next day after the funeral. And some people would look at that and go, oh my gosh, you know,
right.
why? Well, maybe that's what they have to keep busy.
You have to remove the triggers. If someone is an alcoholic, you're not going to keep a fully stocked bar in the living room. Take your pick of all these different things. But that person needs to do that. That's why it's like unique is the big word here. It is unique to you. You are not wrong in your grief. I've seen several people who, like my mother is one of those folks who, she has her moments where she is private in her emotions about loss. You know, she lost her grandmother was one of the most precious people to her that ever walked this earth, and she legitimately was a beautiful person. But when she passed away, I don't remember seeing my mother. She kept going, and I've asked her in years past, and she said, "Well, I had you. I still had to be your mother. You still needed fed or taken to the babysitter or all these different things." So it was almost like the time didn't allow, the schedule didn't allow for her to do that. But she did have her moments when she needed to have them. Mm-hmm. But like she would always say to me, and I think everyone has heard this, this certainly is not unique, is what would he or she have wanted you to do?
Right.
Would they want you to cry on the most, what is supposed to be the most joyous season that of all year long? They probably would not want you. I don't know many people who would want someone to be crying and carrying on. And we get it. Of course, you're going to have emotions. But I don't think anybody would want that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. If I, God forbid, leave this earth, you know, far too early now, I don't want my wife and daughter to mourn me like crazy. I enjoy the holidays. I know it's tough. Easier said than done, right? But and you deal with that all the time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just be able to sit in the emotion that you're having. Mm-hmm. At the time.
Yeah.
And so that's really all there is. And the person that is going through the grief should be the one being open to telling everybody what they need.
You set the rules. That's how we do it. Okay. So we've been talking with Melissa Clausen, owner and therapist of Breakthrough Counseling Services, online breakthroughcounselingmd.com. Now we've hit some heavy stuff and I think that's great. It's very important this time of year, all year long, really. I want to put a bow on this, pardon the pun. But what are some telltale signs that you could tell people that may be dealing with depression? Maybe they don't know that they're dealing with depression. A lot of times that's, from what I understand, that can sneak up on you. You don't even realize until you're, you know, well into it. So Melissa, take us through a few of the big signs that, well, if you notice you're doing this and this can be both from the person who's doing it and also people who may be noticing it happen.
Isolation, I would say, is the biggest one.
Okay.
So if you see somebody that is saying no to a lot of social outings, if you see them wanting to be alone a lot, if you find yourself doing that, you know, to kind of take a temperature reading and say, what's going on here? Am I just tired? Am I overwhelmed? You know, a lot of the time sleep patterns, if you find yourself not sleeping, or if you find yourself sleeping a lot. So it could be one or the other.
Yeah.
Vice versa. People with eating habits. Either they eat a lot, they find themselves just eating nonstop because they're eating their emotions away, or they're not eating at all and they're losing weight. Those are the big three things that you would see kind of over the holidays. Now, again, depression has its own kind of entity with all kinds of other symptoms underneath it. But those are the top three we would see over the holiday season. That if you start seeing those things, don't let it go past 1 or 2 weeks.
Right.
Kind of make that change, you know, on a Sunday and say, you know what, this week, just one time this week, I'm going to go out and do something. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go volunteer. Yeah. Right? Maybe don't do what you normally do.
I'd say some of that comes down to just breaking that cycle, right? And depression is, in a lot of ways, can be habit-based.
Yeah.
This has now become my new normal. This is what I do. I don't go out in social situations. You begin to identify that way. I'm just not a social person. Well, that stems from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could, at least. And so I think that, like you just said, it's great, great advice. If you notice it, we don't think it's anything, and turns out it is something. And you know what? Let's just say it's a social situation where you avoid that. Okay. Well, what's the worst thing that's going to happen if you break it? You're going to be a little more social. Well, okay. Maybe there wasn't depression there, but you never know. And worst case scenario is you're hanging out with some good friends.
Yeah.
Or we hope they're good friends.
Right, right.
Well, good. That's wonderful advice. And that's that leads us into this. If you would like to get more information from Melissa and her company, Breakthrough Counseling Services, breakthroughcounselingmd.com. Now, take us through your location that you have right now, because we've got big news, Melissa, but where can you be found physically now?
Our office is located in Jefferson, Maryland. Mm-hmm. So that's 7 miles from Frederick. And We are right off of 340. However, we do in-house and we also do teletherapy. Right. So we have multiple providers in licensed in multiple states in the tri-state area, and all, as well in Florida and Georgia and North Carolina, South Carolina. So just look at our website at www.breakthroughcounselingmd.com and look over each profile's name and see the states that they're licensed in. And then we are also excited to kind of announce that we have our second location opening up in Greencastle.
Wonderful.
In the spring. So
you will be able to do in-person visits there.
We're doing in-person. And also, again, we'll also always have telehealth. I think that's not going anywhere after the pandemic.
Now, is the website says md.com. Are we going to do a breakthroughcounselingpa.com?
We will look to see if that's available. No, we're going to keep it breakthroughcounselingmd.com.
Yeah, it does. But this area, we're all, I feel like the tri-state area is just one kind of its own state. So to speak. Yes. You know, if you're from Western Maryland, you know well about PA, Southern PA, South Central PA, you know all about Maryland and all everything ties in together, and throw West Virginia in there as well. So we've been talking with Melissa Clausen, owner and therapist of Breakthrough Counseling Services, online breakthroughcounselingmd.com, brand new location, an additional location is coming. Right now she's in Jefferson, Maryland. Get on that website, get some help, telehealth, in-person, in-home visits. There's not a base that you don't cover, Melissa, and I think that's amazing. And if you like what you've heard here, I certainly do. There's no shame in talking to someone. Sometimes talking to someone who does not have any personal connection to you, it's almost like that veil of judgment, so to speak, is removed, and it's just getting it out there, talking to someone who's not really in your circle, can make all the difference in the world. All right, Melissa, we'll let you go, and I'm sure we're going to have you back again, okay?
Thanks so much.
This has been Ask the Expert, a Verstandig Media production.